In celebration of all that is scholastic, I propose we take a look at a sliver of the past and focus on what it might have been like to go to high school in the 1920s, and by that, I mean 1928, to be exact. The museum has been collecting yearbooks from local schools for quite some time now. Those volumes shine a spotlight on a special segment of our community. Yearbooks let you know who was teaching in the community, who was in school at the time, of course, and what high school life was like back when your exam results were printed in the newspaper for all to see. Yikes. With that in mind, let's crack open the 1928 copy of the Quill Timmins High School's yearbook and see what those young folks were up to back then. Timmins High School boasted 16 staff for the school year, including Mr. Trelevin, who did double duty as school principal and classics professor. The technical school opened in 1928, providing courses in woodworking, machine shop practice, mining, electrical, domestic sciences, and commercial work. Much to my chagrin, individual student photos were not included or any indication of how many people were in school in 1928, but according to a report by Principal Trelevin printed in the Porcupine Advance in October 1927, 241 pupils were enrolled in the school, which broke down to 96 boys and 145 girls, with an average monthly attendance of 238 students, not too shabby. So, besides the traditional schoolwork, what kinds of things were these 241 students doing to make their time in high school a success? It will come to no one's surprise that athletics were immensely popular, and 1928 saw the introduction of a girls' athletics club that focused on track and field, tennis and basketball. According to the Quill's editor, the first great attraction was field day, where our athletes, good, bad and indifferent, from first form on up, vied with one another for the honors of the school. Irene Craig won the junior championship while Margaret Martin became the senior champion. The athletic club had a booth that day where hot dogs, candy, peanuts and soft drinks waited to spur the contestants on to victory, and to serve as celebration or consolation. Naturally, boys' sports were in full swing and popular with the student body. Tennis, track and field and basketball were the main events, but gymnastics were also popular. The boys are also quite clever gymnasts. At the commencement exercises, they put on a display of bar work, tumbling, etc., that was enthusiastically received. Their hair-raising antics and clever skill won the admiration of all those present. The Literary Society was another important school club. Members presented sketches and musical numbers as well as public speaking and debating events. A Christmas party was held to celebrate the opening of the auditorium, a space that would be well used by all of the school's students. As the high school orchestra struck up, "Is She My Girlfriend?", the fun lovers gathered to try the latest steps on the shiny new floor. The novelty dances were a great success, and despite the early hour at which the party broke up, loads of fun were crowded in. Rounding out the yearbook was a diary of activities kept by Rupert Donaldson, fifth form, i.e. senior, grade 13. A few humorous entries stand out. September 6th. Talk about a bunch of rosy-faced infants that met me at the door, all clamoring and trying to impress everyone with worldliness. Just think, their first year in high school. One of these youngsters spoke to me as I came in. I strolled on, never noticing him. Imagine a young novice like that trying to speak to a fifth former without invitation. Ye gods, these kids are getting worse every day. Most of the old gang is back, except a few who have gone to make their start on the stormy seas of life. Well, the day ended and I am not a bit wiser than I began. I haven't even decided what course I am going to take this year. After many adventures, a bit of romance and a fight with trigonometry, our snooty fifth former is ready for final exams. June 17th, the night before the big event. I should be nervous, and for some reason I am not. I feel rather ashamed of myself for this lack of feeling, but it can't be helped. I only hope that after tomorrow and the next few days to come I will be able to say, like Caesar, Veni, Vidi, Vici, and luckily for him, Mr. Donaldson passed with flying colors.